related to the scripture that did something. I want to be a Christian. It says a lot. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. It says a lot. For those who gave me feedback last week, as far as standing here where you couldn't hear me, you said that the box is probably something wrong with it. So I tried a different box today. So if you can't hear me, let me know after service. And again, I'll go back to my trusty keepsake up there. As always, it is customary in my tradition to give honor to the pastor of the church. So once again, I'd like to thank Pastor Jeff for allowing me to work on my craft in this pulpit in his absence. And as you know, he will be here next Sunday, standing in this sacred space in which I stand. So I know we all can't wait to have him back. But I would ask that you bow your head for a quick word of prayer. Lord, thank you for choosing me in my broken state and allowing me to do your will. Thank you for allowing me to be used, because I give you thanks for guiding me over and through all the obstacles in my path. I ask that you decrease me and increase your Holy Spirit. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Okay, so today's scripture reading came from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. And like always, when I pick scriptures, there's a lot there. So I'm going to try to condense it for you. But I would like to label my thought the message of the cross. You know, when I was reading the text, there was one nursery rhyme that came to mind. It was a nursery rhyme that most of you probably still know, but I had to look it up to make sure I had the words correct. And it goes, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. You see, Humpty Dumpty is generally seen as an egg sitting high on top of a wall. Once he fell and became cracked and broken, no one could repair him back to his original form. This morning when I was going over the sermon, I noticed that it was a TurboTax commercial that came on TV. They said it's going to be played next Sunday during the Super Bowl a lot. But it showed Humpty Dumpty being splattered all over the pavement. And I see that the king's men, they were rushing, trying to put him back together again. And I had to laugh because they even used that ever handy duct tape to try to keep him together. But in the end, he ends up in a hospital with stitches and in a cast. That was really funny to me. Because how many of you would have just thrown out that egg because it was cracked? Many of us would have. How many of you have ever dropped an egg on the kitchen floor or the counter, and once the egg splatters or bursts all over the surface, you deem it unusable? If you have, you understand why I say it was foolish for anyone to think they could ever repair Humpty Dumpty. You see, on Friday, I went to the grocery store to buy eggs. And you see, when I buy eggs, there are steps that I take to pick out that carton that I think would be most useful in my house. I pick up the carton. I check the date to see how old it is, to see how much longer, how much more life those eggs have. Once I open up the carton, it's just me. I always check to see if any different colors. Just something that I do. And then I also check to see if there's any eggs that have been cracked or broken. If there are, guess what? I toss that carton to the side and I continue to search until I find a carton that fits my specifications. But what if I told you that our lives and our Christian walk is much like Humpty Dumpty? Just like an egg, once we've become broken and cracked, we become a scrambled mess, and we are often thrown away or tossed aside. But what if I also tell you that what the world sees as trash or junk, God sees as treasure? You see, to many, when we are whole and blemish free and are functioning without help or without aid, we may be considered usable, but it's when we become weak and broken, others view us like the dwelling at the bottom of the barrel. You know, the stuff that's considered undesirable and unusable, and we often toss that aside. You see, but God sees the potential in broken people. He doesn't see what is not, but he sees the possibility of what could be. He sees what's in you and not what's around you. As human beings, we often select those who give us the best return. But God oftentimes selects those who need him the most. We select those who are most deserving. But God selects those who are least deserving, so that his choice may be clearly seen to be an act of grace and not of distinction. You see, man's choice is different than God's choice. Man chooses those who would be most helpful to him. God chooses those who he can help the most. You see, God chooses black people and white people and brown people. He chooses gay people and straight people, young people and old people, sick people and poor people, depressed people, lost people. What God chooses is just people. The undeniable fact is that we are all worth consideration despite our circumstances. God uses the broken and the cracked people to reach those in a broken and cracked world. Don't get me wrong, there are things of this world that needs to be broken and thrown out, such as hatred and pride and jealousy that some may have. But I'm here to tell you that God can take what has been broken and make it into something a whole lot better. I have something that I need to admit to you all. I was just like that carton of eggs that I described to you earlier. I was picked over and I was tossed aside. You see, my past church experience played a big part in this. At the churches that I attend, no one could serve in ministry or in leadership if you were considered broken. So I sat dormant in the pews, attending church every Sunday while broken and trying to justify myself because I was different. I was considered broken to a lot of the people in the church because of my gender, amongst other things. But also when I came to this church, I was foolish as well. I know you're all here are a lot more conservative than I am. And it took me a minute to find the space in which I fit in. You see, I say this because I tried to give you what I thought you needed and not what God wanted me to give to each and every one of you. I walked in the doors knowing that there were only a couple of people that looked like me, none that dressed like me, none that talked like me, some that may have the same love preference as me, and probably no one that preached like me. I tried to preach and teach in a way that was not comfortable to me, but it was to you. You see, it wasn't until a few weeks ago during the time that I was sick that I started to wise up. I realized that I ain't got nothing to prove to anybody. I am who I am. I'm called, and because I'm called, I have already been affirmed. I was affirmed when I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. I accepted my call and I began to walk in my call and moved in my call. This allowed me to go from being broken and start to begin my journey towards healing. The message from the cross regarding this: God made each of us just the way we are, with our broken selves, with our cracks and all. We each have a design purpose to live out. If you need proof, it's in the Word. Jeremiah was a little too emotional, but he was called. Moses stuttered. He was called. Abraham was considered too old, and Lazarus was dead. But they were called. This is confirmation that despite your condition, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the called. The second message from the cross is the meaning of the cross today in regards to today. You see, early in the text, Paul makes it pretty clear that the message of the cross is simple. There are only two groups of people, the perishing and the saved, and that we all must fall into one of these groups because there's no other choice. You see, everyone that comes to God through faith, based on the work of Jesus Christ, because Jesus put in work for us. One may ask, what work? What work did Jesus put in? I tell you, the work of Jesus is the measuring stick for this world, for the world. This came as Jesus hung on the cross, as Jesus endured the beatings and the piercings of his hands, his feet, and his side. Not just for the wise, but also the foolish. You see, it was a cross that is considered foolish and weak to those who don't know. You see, the cross is a symbol of a successful failure. The cross is a symbol of a broken wholeness. But most of all, the cross is a symbol of ugly beauty. Christ paid the debt by giving the ultimate sacrifice, which was his life. There's one song, and we sang it earlier, the words. I remember singing At the Cross when I was a kid, and it went, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But there's also a verse to the next song that the choir will sing. And it goes, oh, that rugged cross, so despised by the world, what a wondrous attraction to me. Both lines from these songs talk about the cross. One talks about what happens at the cross, while the other talks about how some may view the cross. How does the symbol of the cross relate to our everyday lives? We see a cross as a very popular symbol that people wear around their necks. I've seen baseball players make signs of a cross after when they cross the plate after hitting a home run. We notice buildings as churches because they have a cross on top. That lets us know it's a religious sacred space. You see, the gestures of the cross is our message of hope and faith, and it gives us confidence. Therefore, it tells me that we should love the cross, preach the cross, stand by the cross, but most of all, we should never be ashamed of the cross. The message of the cross is simple. The message is the cross equals salvation. This is freely granted by God's grace. It's not decided on human worth or human intelligence, but salvation is extended to all people. Christ and Christ alone can save all of man. He can save and use any person and all people. Christ offered the cross as a sign that saves all of mankind completely and forever. I want you to know that you are valuable and you are worthy. But we must remember we have been bought with a price. A price that Jesus paid for our sins to show that we were both worthy and valuable. The last questions that I have for each of you is, what does the cross mean to you? It doesn't matter what you become. It doesn't matter what you became after you were born. The only thing that matters right now is that you have the opportunity to be reborn. Born free of sin, that you may live again. This is the message of the cross. Amen.